Okay. All right, Proverbs 31, verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night, provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor, reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, again we come before you this morning to study your word, that it might teach us, that you might disciple us, we might grow in Christ likeness. I pray as we see this wonderful picture, that we would grow to be like this woman, and we would see the wisdom and virtuous life lived out, and it would lead us, it would teach us, it would encourage and challenge us to live likewise. I do pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be honoring your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if you've been encouraged over the last few weeks as we've seen ordinary women who falter and yet the great faithfulness of God in their life, I would hope you're not discouraged this morning as we see not really an ordinary woman as an example before us. You all, I'm sure, are more familiar with this passage than I am, but it was great to spend a week with this Proverbs 31 woman. I'm interested to make a couple comments about the passage, and then we'll jump into it. Many of you may know it's an acrostic, which means every verse starts with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So it's kind of the A through Z of a great woman. And so probably to help remember it, you know, oftentimes acrostics are used to help us remember. The genre is an interesting genre. It reads like a hymn to a returning warrior. Not the words themselves, but kind of the way it's structured. That warriors return from battle and they would be praised. And this is kind of the way in which those hymns would be formed. It was actually used early on probably to serve as a description for young men, for who to marry, right? This is what you should look for in a wife. These are the characteristics you should look for in a wife. One of the knocks against the Proverbs 31 woman is it's a superwoman, right? No one can be this woman. What's the point? I mean, this is impossible. It's probably not describing an actual woman, right? I mean, it's kind of a gathering of different things. It is a bit of an ideal portrait. But I think the point is that wisdom and virtue lived out faithfully in every area of life. And this woman shows us many different areas of life where wisdom and virtue are lived out. And so what I want to see this morning is how do we fulfill the roles that God has called us to, right? The overall point is we're to fear him and we're to trust and obey him. But what does that look like as it's lived out in our lives? So Proverbs is practical. This is going to be hopefully a fairly practical lesson. I want to see these five roles that the Proverbs 31 woman is called to and how we can respond accordingly when God calls us in those same roles. So we're going to look at the five roles of the Proverbs 31 woman. The first is she is an excellent wife. That's how our hymn begins. She is an excellent wife. It starts off with this question, an excellent wife. Who can find? Another proverb that fits this perfectly is he who finds a wife finds a great thing. Right? A Proverbs, an excellent wife who can find. Ironically, today, that's probably reversed, right? A good husband who can find in the church in the 21st century. Here, an excellent wife who can find. What makes this woman an excellent wife? Let me just list three things. Trust. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her. So her husband trusts her. There's trust in this marriage, as many of you would know, and I'm sure agree with. Trust is vital in a strong marriage, right? Trust is necessary. What makes this woman trustworthy? Right? Why does the husband trust in her? It doesn't exactly say. I mean, she's honest. She's kind of dependable. I mean that in the kind of in the complimentary sense of the word. She supports him. Obviously, we see later on that he sits in the gates. I lost what verse that is. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. He is one of the elders, and she's a great supporter and a partner with him. So he trusts in her. The second thing that makes her an excellent wife from this passage is care. She cares for him. In verse 12, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Now, that sounds obvious, right? Of course, a wife would want to do her husband good, but look around, that's not always the case, right? This is obviously not a marriage where both sides selfishly are looking for, or at least we're assuming the husband is not like the wife. The wife is selflessly caring for the good of her husband. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. I mean, what does this mean for the woman? I mean, what does it mean to do others good? Sacrifice of yourself, right? Selflessness. We see these characteristics as she does her husband good. And I believe it's related to trust. Trust is not simply about just honest and not telling lies, right? A husband would trust in his wife knowing that she cares for his good, ultimately, right? In a marriage in which a spouse is entirely selfish and only looking out for themselves, the other spouse, who would trust a person like that? Right? They always be second guessing or playing games. But here, this honesty leads to, or this care, him knowing that she does desire to do him good, leads him, I think, to trust in her. And I think it would be vice versa as well. The third thing about the excellent wife is she is praiseworthy. Skip all the way, verses 10, 11, 12 deal with the wife, and then skip down towards the end, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. We'll get to that in a little bit. Her husband also, and he praises her. She's praiseworthy as a wife. And she receives praise from her children, which we'll see in a little bit, but also from her husband. The way she treats her husband is praiseworthy. Now that's maybe it's easier for us to think, what is praiseworthy in my life, and what, frankly, is not. That's kind of, if we put that lens on it, it comes a little bit clearer about what to recognize in my own life or in my own marriage, what would be praiseworthy and what wouldn't be. So trust, care, praiseworthiness is an excellent wife. I think it asks the questions of us. What can you do to be a more excellent wife? How can you foster more trust in your marriage? How can you care more for your husband? How can you receive more praise? That's kind of a weird way of thinking about it, right? I mean, not that we should be seeking praise in our marriage, but how can we act in ways that would be praiseworthy? Whether we're praised for them or not, they're so praiseworthy. They're acts worthy of praise. So trust, care, and praise, characteristics of the excellent wife in this passage. She's an excellent wife. Secondly, she is a wise homemaker. This is almost all of the or not all, I mean, over half of the verses, right? The majority of the verses in this psalm deal with this woman as a homemaker. Now, the term, I debated what to call her exactly. I actually had this debate last week. I was filling out for Lindsay her passport application, and it asked her profession, her employment. I thought, I don't know. I mean, I almost... Is that what I should have put? I almost put unemployed. I was like, that's not right. I mean, I saw a study once that kind of added up everything kind of a classic homemaker does throughout the week and what you have to pay someone else to do that same thing. And my wife would make a lot more than me if she was paid for what she did. But that's kind of a hot-button term, right? And some of the questions I've written kind of deal with the perception of a homemaker in our culture today. How much does the perception of our culture has towards a homemaker influence our perception of ourselves, you know, as homemakers or that role? The context here, right, it's a domestic kind of realm in which she works in. She's well off, right? She has a big house. She has land, right? She can purchase land. She has servants that are kind of under her as a kind of a homemaker. Something to note before we look at a couple of the details. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax. She works with willing hands. Willing hands can also be translated joyful or with pleasure. She works with hands of pleasure. She works with joyful hands. It's one thing to be a homemaker. It's a whole other thing to be a joyful homemaker, isn't it? And I said to everyone, I was one for a season, right, caring for our daughter when she was first born. But I know from my wife and other women, this is a challenge, right, to embrace whatever season you're in, whatever God has called you to embrace it with joy. So she's a wise homemaker. A couple roles she fills in that. She's a merchant. We see this in a number of verses. Verse 13 alone, she seeks wool and flax, right? She manufactures, she harvests. She produces, she buys material, she buys food, she buys a field. This probably things that are also related to her husband's trust, right? I mean, he trusts her to do all that and to do it all with the care for the good of the whole family, right? And not just to care for herself. When I go to the grocery store, I'm usually just caring for what I want to eat, right, and what I want. She also sells. She sells merchandise. She sells garments. She sells sashes. As a merchant, she is wise with finances, and she is resourceful, things we learn about her. She's also a worker. We see this in a number of verses as well. Her work is primarily with cloth, right? She's primarily a seamstress, I guess would be. She works with wool and flax. She works with a distaff and a spindle. She makes garments and sashes, right? I mean, this is kind of all this cloth imagery. She's a hard worker, right? It says in verse 15, she rises while it is yet night. Then it says in verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. So she rises early and she stays up late, working for the good of her home, the good of her family. She's a hard worker. We would say today she burns the candle at both ends, right? One of the things, she's a provider. She brings food. She plants food. I love verse 25. She laughs at the time to come. That's a wonderful verse. She laughs. And then this is not a self-trusting laugh. Right? She has wisely trusted in the Lord, feared the Lord, provided for her family, and she knows he will see her through. She laughs at the time to come. So she looks to the, in summary, she looks to, verse 27 helps us summarize this. She looks well to the ways of her household. She looks well to the ways of her household. She provides. She's not lazy. She's not idle. She works for the sake of her husband, her children, her servants, her neighbors. My wife is right now reading Little Women. I think she wants to gain some insight into our family, which is, she's trying to convince me to read it. I'm not convinced. But every night, you know, we're reading, and she'll usually stop and say, "You got to hear this. You got to hear this quote." That's Ellie or that's Anna. Two nights ago, she read this. I don't even know what character said this, but one of the characters said, "A woman's happiest kingdom is home, her highest honor, the art of ruling it. Not as a queen, but as a wise wife and mother. I hope this, the passage is an encouragement to you. The house is blessed to have a woman like this. Right? The house thrives, it prospers under her ministry. You have all been called to different levels of this, right? Different seasons. But whatever season you're in, whatever level of homemaking you're involved in, do it with wisdom, with service, with hard work. And I hope you're encouraged that it is a recognized and precious work in the eyes of the Lord.
How do you think this applies to the single woman?
Yeah, I mean, I think the characteristics, I mean, somebody say yeah.
Characteristics.
Yeah, yeah. Not maybe not the application will obviously look different.
Yeah. But the closer I remember that the Lord is my husband, the more it kind of folds out that way. It just kind of shines out that way.
Hmm.
It makes me feel a whole lot better to know that my house, that he's my husband in my house, and he has proven that with practical ways over and over again.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's a great question. Mm-hmm. It's obviously something to think through. I mean, the characteristics of hard work, of generosity, trusting in the Lord, those can all be lived out, right, in different realms, different seasons of life. That's a great question. All right, two characteristics down, three more to go. She's an excellent wife. She's a wise homemaker. Thirdly, she is a generous neighbor. These next two or three are much shorter. She's a generous neighbor. Look at verse 20 and verse 26. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. There's a wonderful parallel there. She opens her hand and she opens her mouth. These two things are opened. I mean, you cut this woman, good things will come out. Right? You know, they say I'm a Duke basketball fan, so my veins run blue, my blood runs blue or whatever. This woman, her blood's run with kind of generosity, and you cut her and that's what comes out. She's generous in two areas. She's a generous neighbor in two areas, one with deeds and one with words. Verse 20, she is a generous neighbor in her deeds. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. That imagery, who's usually between the rich and the poor, who's usually the one reaching out? It's the poor, right? That image, reaching out. And what does the rich usually do? They recoil, right? Closed fist. Hey, don't touch my stuff. I worked for this. I earned this. It's mine. She, on the other hand, opens her hand to the poor, and she reaches to the poor. That's a wonderful image of generosity. Not the clenched fist, but the open, generous hand, seeking out the needy, reaching out towards them. She is a hard worker. She has earned all that she has, and yet she's generous to the poor. In their time of need. She's a generous neighbor with her deeds. Secondly, she's a generous neighbor with her words. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This is probably not kind of a formal she's not a teacher, a lecturer, or a professor. But as she goes, her speech, her encouragement, her discipleship, as she goes through life, is characterized by two things. It's characterized by wisdom and by kindness. And this kindness word is the word we heard last week with Ruth, hesed, this covenant kindness, this covenant loyalty, this loyal kindness that characterized Ruth and Boaz. Here it characterizes the words of this woman, the teaching of this woman. And so she is wise, she's kind. The things of the Lord are on her lips. It's easy to, because a lot of this passage has to do with a homemaker and caring for her home, to get kind of a shell mindset, right? That this woman's kind of, we could be a hermit and kind of hoard everything we need and pile it all up and not really care about anyone else but those in my own house. She's not like that. If everywhere she goes, everyone she touches, I mean, this woman has a phenomenal testimony, right, as she goes through life. She opens her hand to the poor. She opens her mouth with wisdom. I would ask us, what characterizes your interaction with others? What characterizes your words? What characterizes your deeds? Is it generosity? Is it wisdom? Is it kindness that would point others to the Lord, that would show others Christ, that would show the gospel with your words and deeds? Or are your words and deeds characterized with selfishness, right? Gossip, greed, foolishness. This woman is a challenge, and she convicts us all with her generosity. Fourthly, she is a blessed mother. See this in verse 28. She's a blessed mother. Verse 28, really half of verse 28, is the only time she's really mentioned as strictly as a mother, right? You assume as just a homemaker caring for her home, that includes children, but it's only here where she's mentioned specifically as a mother. What does it say in verse 28? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her children praise the Lord for their mother. Proverbs tells us over and over again that wise children bring joy to their parents. And if you were to be a Proverbs 31 woman, you need to be a Proverbs 1 through 31 mother, right? Raising children in the fear of the Lord, loving them, teaching them, disciplining them. Those children that are brought up in that household end up praising their mother. And this is most telling that it's the children praising her. It's not kind of the outsiders that see her on Sunday morning. No, it's the kids that see her every single day. It's easy as a mother, it's easy as a parent to look like a great parent to the world. I mean, you know, some people probably think I'm a great dad. I am not. I know in the fall and the summer we open our windows, and I'm much more conscious of myself as a parent when the windows are open than when the windows are closed, right? Because the kid, right? The kids know. The kids know what goes on in the home. And yet these children that lived with her day in and day out still would praise her. Part of that is because the children bless the mother because they have enjoyed the fruits of her righteousness. Imagine growing up in this home. some of you had great mothers probably just like this. Some of you probably didn't have mothers like this at all. Either way, imagine growing up in this home. It would be great. So I would hope that would be an encouragement to you. The homemaker or the mother, it is a thankless job. It's an underappreciated job. And honestly, you usually get the worst of the kids, right? It's a hard job. And this isn't the payoff, right? The payoff is not that the kids will praise you, because the payoff is God's glory and pointing your children towards Christ. But this sure is an encouragement along the way that children rise up and praise their mother. How do you be a Proverbs mother? You be a Proverbs 31 woman, right? Work, sacrifice, care, trust, kindness, teaching, generosity. This woman is the same when she's on the street as she is in her home. And that says a lot. So she's an excellent wife. She's a wise homemaker. She's a generous neighbor. She's a blessed mother. All of that is only happens because, fifthly, she's a God-fearing woman. She's a God-fearing woman. Look at verses 29 to 31 as the hymn ends, especially verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. These are harsh words, right? Charm, kind of a visual ornament or beauty. These things are vain, right? A breath or a mist or smoke, meaningless. More than just that, though, they're a liar, right? They speak lies. And in our culture, we are obsessed with charm and beauty, aren't we? That's our culture. That's many times the culture in our home. That's many times the culture we're passing on to our children. And oftentimes it is a lie. And I'd have to ask, this is a powerful verse. Do you believe the lie that charm and beauty speak? Do you believe that lie? Now, the opposite, of course, of this woman, she's the first part of verse 30 is presented as a foil, right, or as an opposite to the woman who fears the Lord. There are lots of commercials on things that charm and about charm and beauty. There aren't commercials on TV about fearing the Lord, are there? And yet this woman is praised. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, caring not about the judging eyes of the world, but caring only about the eyes of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, it manifests itself so simply in our lives. Faith and obedience, right? Trust, faith, obedience, obedience to the word of the Lord. Fear is the fear of the Lord for this woman, a God-fearing woman, it's like the trunk. And an excellent wife is a branch. The wise homemaker, a branch. Right? These other things are branches. Without that trunk, those branches would be nothing. Imagine if you were, if the trunk was instead of fear of man, I mean, instead of fear of the Lord, it was a trunk of fear of man. The branches would be a poor wife, a foolish homemaker, a selfish neighbor, and a cursed mother. Right? What is most vital is our fear of the Lord. The book of Proverbs, you study it in its entirety, it begins with the fear of the Lord, right? And it ends here with this wonderful picture of a woman who fears the Lord. As Proverbs 31 women, you must learn to live fearing the Lord. So I've asked a lot of application questions. Ultimately, I want to end where the hymn ends. Do you fear the Lord? And is that shown in every aspect of your life, right? In your personal life, in your family life, in your home life, in your social life, in your church life, as a wife, as a homemaker, as a neighbor, as a mother, as a woman, do you fear the Lord? So, let me pray. Our Lord and our God, it is ever so convicting to see this woman, and yet it is ever so encouraging that you indeed work in and through us, you work in and through wives and mothers, single women and widows, single mothers. You work through all women to display your glory. And this woman teaches us and shows us what it is to live a wise, virtuous life, exhibited, number one, by fear of you. So I pray that you would teach us fear of the Lord, and we would indeed learn, these women would learn what it looks like to fear you and how that fear is played out in every part of their lives. Through this study, through these questions, would we be convicted, admonished, where we need to be admonished, and encouraged by your word. I pray your blessing on these ladies this day. In Christ's name, amen. Yes.